Hey guys, just want to take time again to thank you for listening, as always, to the podcast. It really does go a long way, and I know I put out as many episodes as I can by myself with co-hosts when I can, as I can, and I do apologize for little sponsored segment things that come up about Anchor and everything like that, but it does help support as little as it is. It does help support just, you know, a little bit. It really does go a long way. It's nothing crazy, nothing major, but it's the start of something. It's the start of something that I'm passionate about and I enjoy genuinely. So those of you that listen and keep coming back and keep listening, thank you so much. I do apologize about the ad that is going to follow this. It's about a minute long, so if you want to skip to the 2 to 3 minute mark, that's where the podcast starts. But guys, thank you again so much for love and support. Enjoy.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, however it is you're taking in this episode of the Week 4 review in the NFL. Thank you. So as I said, Week 4 review of the Sports Forward podcast. We're going to kind of just jump right into it. It's me and myself today, just me. No guests, no co-host, but that's all right. We might get a co-host later. If internet comes back, we'll see. So. Real quick, couple hits and misses for myself. I was on the Stack Attack podcast last week during their waiver wire episode, which is actually going to be coming on later tonight at around 9 p.m., I want to say. However, the Yankees are playing tonight at 8:08 is first pitch. So we will see if Nick is locked in and Mimi for the Stack Attack podcast. We'll see what's going on with that. But anyway, real quick. Hits and misses kind of just have, I think about it, I might come up with some misses later as I'm going through and reviewing the games, but I had said last week that my take was going to be Zach Wilson popping off, and he somewhat did that. I do also want to say that one of my co-hosts, Connor, called the Jets winning this game. This would be the game that the Jets win, so he was right on that. He tweeted it out on Sunday, I believe, or on Monday. But I did say Zach Wilson would throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. Unfortunately, I was a little off. He threw for 297 and 2 TDs, but I mean, look, wasn't so far off, but I wasn't right on. So close, but no cigar. So that was one hit that my hot take for the Stack Attack podcast. My second hit was I said as a waiver ad, they had Colin Johnson from the Giants on the waiver wire, which I thought was going to have a decent game, like maybe get some playing time. He got nothing. So that happens. It is what it is. But Kadarius Toney, on the other hand, I did say that he would be having his little coming out party, his little game. So he did do well, you know, 6 catches for 79 yards. Sorry for the sniffles, allergies. But Tony had a very nice game, kind of his coming out thing. So we'll see what happens with that. If they get Slayton back next week and Shepard, we shall see. They play the Cowboys. So playing the Cowboys, I expect him to have a bigger role considering Diggs might be on Galladay, but we'll see. At least if one of those other guys come back, I think Tony can have another big week. But like I said, we'll see. That'll be Friday's episode, the preview episode. So we'll see how that goes, see what's going on there. But it was also not a good day for the bets. I don't think for myself or my other buddy, Zub. We'll see about that. I'm going to review that at the end. But with that being said, we're going to hop right into the games. We'll start off with Monday. We'll go backwards. Excuse me, and work our way back. So Raiders, Chargers, 21-0 at half. Chargers thought it was going to be a blowout, thought they were going to just put up like 40. Raiders defense ended up stepping up. good game from the usual people. Nothing too crazy. Eckler had a big game. Mike Williams didn't have the game that probably everybody thought he would have. Jared Cook was had the coming out party this game. 6 catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown. So that was a very nice game for him. Keenan Allen was targeted a lot. He had 11 targets, led the team. Also, the team in catches, just however, only had 36 yards. The Raiders really kind of took Keenan Allen out of the game and made somebody else beat them, and Jared Cook did that. Nobody else really went crazy. Austin Eckler had a good game, 28 receiving yards, 117 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 receiving, 1 rushing. So, you know, you expect that from Eckler. Good to see that, though. Hopefully, you know, it obviously stays. They want to be more of a balanced team, so I expect that to happen. Mike Williams, though, 4 targets, 1 catch, and 11 yards. The Raiders lost some corners this week. 2 corners, as a matter of fact. So I think that kind of opened up the game, the running game, which is why Eckler had a bigger run game, because they were probably wanting to help out the backup corners that were playing. So playing a lot of like zone, you know, maybe help over the top with the safeties, whatever the case may be. So that opened up the box a little bit for Eckler to run. So it was very game script heavy when the corners went down in the first half. Start the second when you saw more running plays. Other than that, the Chargers were airing it out. And then they were just like, they have to. We could just use Eckler. And that's what they did. But Eckler finished with 140 yards in total. A little over. Close to 145, I believe. But overall, it's a good game. Derek Carr had a nice, very bad game, I guess, by his standards. 196 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. Well under his average for the year. Chargers defense just played well. They did. They played really well. Not letting Carr get into rhythm. They were pressuring him early, which was nice to mess with that internal clock. Josh Jacobs was a late start, game time decision. He played nothing crazy with Jacobs, but I didn't think so. 57 total yards, 5 catches, and 13 carries for 40 yards, 5 catches for 17. So, you know, PPR, 6.7, so about 10. Almost 11 points, nothing crazy. Ruggs had a nice catch, but Ruggs didn't do much. 3 catches on 6 targets. Waller was held in check. He did have a touchdown, which saved his day. But other than that, nothing crazy. Renfro, though, led the team in targets and receptions, and I think he's going to be an every week starter. Ruggs is a deep threat. Waller's the target guy, middle of the field guy. Renfro plays that role, man. He's that slot receiver. He's going to get a lot of catches. And in the red zone, he's crafty enough and shifty enough to get touchdowns. He can get you a lot of production. So don't be surprised if you see him, you know, getting more and more touchdowns, averaging between 6 to 10 catches a game. Game script dependent, obviously game flow dependent. You know, they were really playing from behind. They needed to take more shots down the field. If they had a lead but couldn't run, or it was like tit for tat, score for score, he probably would have gotten more targets. Carr didn't have a bunch of time to throw the ball. When he did, you know, he made some good throws, but he did miss a lot. But overall, it was a good game. Good game. Very underperforming from Carr, though. You know, if you started him, hoping he would stay consistent. But they played a good team for once. Not saying the other teams weren't good, but they didn't deserve a couple of the wins, I think, that they got. Got overtime. So their record is not, I think, who they actually are. That's just my opinion, though. So we'll see. Sorry about that. I had to cough. So let's go to the next game. The next game. Cowboys Panthers. Sam Darnold got hot. 301 passing yards. He had a total of 4 touchdowns. Game was not as close as what the scoreboard indicated. Late time stuff. Start DJ Moore if you have him. Just don't do anything except start DJ Moore. I don't know what it is. Chuba Hubbard did not have a great game. It's very concerning going into next week's games. If you have Hubbard, I don't recommend starting him, but we'll talk more about that later. Darnold, though, he had two picks. You know, you're trying to force stuff, but he also had four touchdowns in total, two rushing and two passing. So he had a very good game overall, though, I would say. You know, 35 total fantasy points according to CBS. So roughly, depending on what league you play in, did throw for over 300 yards. Like I said, two picks. But yeah, you're just starting more. 12 targets, 8 catches. Robbie Anderson had 11 targets in this game, but he's just missing Robbie Anderson. Like, he's bullseye, like thread needles to DJ Moore. Needles to DJ Moore. Through tight windows. Anderson wide open, way over his head, way right, way left. It's just in the ground. It just, I don't know. I have him in my one league, and he's a possible drop. And if somebody else gets him, by all means, you know, take him. Maybe I'll pick up who you're dropping for him. He's going to be on your bench when he goes off. He's not going to be playing when you know, unless it's a bye week, you're not going to start him, and he's not going to go off for you. So you might be a week too late. So careful with Robbie Anderson. But DJ Moore had two touchdowns, both touchdowns. I did not expect this coming from Darnold, but you know, it is what it is. Cowboys, Dak had a very good game, threw under 25 pass attempts for 188 yards and 4 touchdowns. Defense for the Cowboys played very well, gave them a lot of short fields, especially with 2 interceptions. So short fields obviously mean a lot for them, which is very good. Zeke showed you that Zeke, 20 carries, 143 yards and a touchdown. Pollard still got his, 10 carries, 67 yards. So the yards per carry are still very good. Cooper, 3 for 3 on targets and catches. Hit a beautiful touchdown on the right side of the end zone. Dak placed it beautifully over his shoulder, caught it, held on to it. You like to see that if you didn't know he was going to play with some nagging injuries, but he played. He got you a touchdown. You're good to go. Cedric Wilson, CeeDee Lamb. I don't know what's going on with CeeDee. He had 5 targets. He was almost the most. He was the most targeted wide receiver in the game, but just 2 catches. The Panthers defense, though, is very good. So it could, you know. And Dak said after the game, they're going to take what you give them. If you give them the tight ends, they're going to take the tight ends. If you give them the receivers, they're going to take the receivers. If you give them the running game, they're going to take that. So if you have CeeDee, I would definitely think trying to get rid of him on name and earlier in the season. Maybe you can get some value for him if you're weaker in other positions, but strong at wide receiver. You want to get a better tight end maybe, or a better quarterback, or, you know, shore up your running back position, or get, you know, 2 comparable players for bye week stuff, load up a little bit, you know. Excuse me. You could do some stuff. Cooper, the same thing, I think, though, because it's going to be very game flow dependent. If they give them the outside with the receivers, they're going to take it. If not, then it could be a long day for you in fantasy. I know I have CeeDee Lamb in one of my leagues. I lost because he didn't do CeeDee things, and that's fantasy. I mean, these teams aren't playing for fantasy purposes. These teams are playing to win games, to get to the playoffs, to make it to the Super Bowl, to win the Super Bowl. So they don't give a shit about what we think or how we feel about our fantasy teams. So just one of those things, I guess. But Zeke, he's like, it's my backfield, Tony. Stop thinking it's your backfield, and we're good to go. But they rushed for over 200 yards in total. You know, almost 250 yards. Dak passed, you know, Cowboys are good, scary good. They played my Giants next week. We'll see what I think in the preview episode on Friday, but I'm not too optimistic. But yeah, Dak's playing out of his mind right now. He's playing good, and he was playing like this before the injury last year. So this is what he's becoming. It's good to see with his shoulders injury and his ankle that he feels confident. He's making good throws. He's stepping into his throws. He's pushing off. He's getting good zip. You saw against, you know, the Bucs week 1, he could throw the ball, but I definitely think they're trying to make sure that to save his arm for when he has to throw, his arm won't be shot. But and if you have Dalton Schultz. I don't know why I'm thinking of something else. If he's somehow on your waivers in your 10-team leagues, pick him up. If he's in your 12-team leagues and he's somehow available, pick him up. Blake Jarwin did get a touchdown. You could probably play Blake Jarwin in non-PPR games, but Dalton Schultz is just somebody I think that has to be rostered right now. He's probably one of the top performing tight ends next to, you know, like Gronk.
I mean, like Kelsey, like with even with Kelsey's off week, Waller only had a good week one. There's not many good tight ends out there. He could be a top 12 tight end at the end of the season for sure. I don't see why not, especially if they're going to take what they give him. Yeah, you might have your bad games, but if they're getting burned on the outside early teams, they then the middle of the field might be open. So Schultz could still get his regardless. So I definitely think that in PPR leagues, definitely 12 teams, if you have him, start him every week. I think he's going to be good. You're going to have your bad weeks because, again, that's what happens in the NFL. It depends on what's going on in the game and how the game's going and what the other team is giving them. You can't take away all their options, so somebody's going to be left open. It's a matter of if you're playing that person. Next, Browns-Vikings, a very, very ugly game. If you started Cook, I'm sorry for you. If you started Cousins, I'm sorry for you. If you started Madison, I'm sorry for you. However, it was very interesting that Madison did out-touch him 10-9. But that was it. If it wasn't for Justin Jefferson's first drive touchdown, he wouldn't have had that good of a game either. Thielen just couldn't catch anything this week. Conklin was targeted a lot. I did talk about Conklin on the Stack Attack podcast. I do like Conklin. He did show you with the targets that he can, you know, he does have that upside. Osborne was also targeted 7 times and only had 3 catches. I didn't see all of the game, but, you know, I'm still not crazy about Osborne because I think they really like Conklin. Thielen had, you know, targeted 8 times, 3 catches. Don't really know what's going on with Thielen so far this year. I have him in a couple of leagues, very disappointed. But Jefferson, if you had him, obviously you're just starting him, but if it was very good to see the first drive, he capitalized on that because that was good for those two. The Browns, Kareem Hunt just steals touchdowns. They kind of stay with the hot hand. Typically, if they start to drive and they do well, they're probably going to keep that person. Hunt is out targeting Chubb in the out of the backfield, but Chubb at 21 carries for 100 yards on the dot. You know, Chubb's still somebody that you have to start every week. If you have either one of these guys, you're starting them because they're just that's their offense. And Baker Mayfield is a terrible quarterback. Terrible quarterback, or at least a terrible quarterback with Odell. Dude, he went 15 for 33 with 155 yards. Like, Odell was targeted 7 times, 2 catches. Rashad Higgins had 7 for 4. Like, what? The only people I'm starting in Cleveland are their running backs and their defense. That's it, nothing else. It was a terrible game. We're going to move on from that quick. Next, Lions, Bears. I don't want to talk about this. I don't know. The Bears just said, we're just going to go out and lose this game. We're not even going to try. I don't even know. I'd say it was their defense. 100% their defense. Got through the ball 38 times for just under 300 yards for 299, 2 touchdowns. They did have a couple bad snaps. One bad snap hit Goff in the shoulder pad. The center snapped it early as Goff was trying to come up to the offensive line to make an adjustment. That got picked up, you know. So just very unlucky bounces for the Lions, and they got too hot too late. Justin Fields did play better, 11 out of 17 for 209 yards. Did have an interception, so he's still not there yet. This was a better game plan. They relied a lot on David Montgomery. Speaking of David Montgomery, it appears to be a sprain in his knee. For a couple of weeks, he will be out. So on tomorrow's episode for Waiver Wire, if you can, pick up Damian Williams. He has a minor injury, but I still think it's going to be a couple of weeks. Even if Damian Williams misses next week, I still think he's the back to have, depending on Tariq Cohen and how Tariq Cohen does when he comes back. Monitor that, but I still do like Damian Williams because Tariq Cohen is not in football shape. Keep that in mind. I am not a fan of Herbert coming out of the backfield, Khalil Herbert. I just think you stick with Williams. Let's go from there. Allen Robinson had a little bit of a better game. 3 catches on 3 targets for 63 yards. Just looking for him to get into the end zone, but I get it. You're defending Justin Fields. You're not trying to get him killed. I understand. Damian Williams does get you catches. So with Montgomery out, he can be more of a weapon in the passing game. Also, Darnell Mooney, 7 targets for 5 catches for 125 yards. His longest was 64 yards. So Justin Fields throws a very pretty deep ball. And I mean, very pretty deep ball. He's probably one of the more accurate quarterbacks in the NFL in throwing a deep ball, even at his young age. One thing he did in college very well, in high school very well, coming out of high school, going to Georgia, and then transferring to Ohio State. You saw that. There was one consistency about his game. And Mooney can fly. I want to see more consistency from this, considering he had five catches out of the 11 completions, 7 targets out of the 17. So he was looking for Mooney. I think they're going to try to take Mooney away from him next game and give Mooney and give their corners help over the top to try to stop Mooney from going deep, to make Justin Fields make those tougher throws and make him not just be able to rely on his arm strength to throw the ball far and let Mooney just go under and catch it. So expect that. If Mooney has another big game, he does. But I'm thinking for next week, he may or may not. But we'll get into that on Friday. For the Lions, for their running backs, very disappointing in DeAndre Swift. He did have 4 catches for 33 yards, which kind of saved him a little bit. But 8 carries for 16 yards, not good. But the Bears defense is also very good. So take it with a grain of salt. But Jamal Williams could have been the hotter hand. Jamal Williams also has played the Bears longer than DeAndre Swift has, being in Green Bay for a couple of years before coming over to Detroit. And you understand how to run against certain teams. Yes, that's actually a thing. Certain running backs do know how to run against certain teams because you may or may not play them more than the other running back on your team. So you know what you have to do when they give you a hole to take it or not to take it based on certain tendencies. Just doing homework. It's nothing against Swift. That'll come in time. Quintez Cephas and St. Brown. I mean, they threw it a lot. Hockenson, if you have him, you're going to start him because there's nobody else. Unfortunately, and he is what he is. He'll probably get you, you know, if he gets 7, it's for 70 yards, and hopefully one of those catches a touchdown in the red zone. But other than that, you want to kind of look for Cephas as probably one of the top waiver priorities if you need a receiver for deeper leagues, but I'm trying to stay away. He would have gotten you 12 points, but I'm still trying to stay away. Because they're just bad. And it's just hit or miss. It just depends on what receiver is going to be open. If it's Brown, if it's Raymond. Like. So. But yeah, that was a stinker of a game to watch. To be honest with you. Texans-Bills. Back-to-back shutouts. 75 points scored in their previous 2 games. No points allowed. Davis Mills had 4 interceptions. He was 11 of 21 for 87 passing yards. They had 110 total yards of offense. Mitchell Trubisky had a touchdown. Devin Singletary, 14 carries, 79 yards. Zach Moss, 14 carries, 61 yards. But Zach Moss did get the touchdown. This is just split duties like it is in Cleveland. So you could probably start either one of them, but I'd rather have Zach Moss at this point. He's going to get you the touchdowns. I would really rather have Zach Moss. Diggs had a good game, 7 for 114. Sanders again, 5 for 74. Knox had the 2 touchdowns. He went 5 for 37 with 2 TDs. Beasley had a subpar game. Singletary had 1 catch. You're just not sure about Beasley because Sanders fills in for that Beasley role. And I think Sanders is a better Beasley. So that's just what it is. And Diggs is just doing Diggs things, man. 10 targets, 7 catches, 114 yards. He's the guy. He's the guy and he'll continue to be the guy. He's just, you know, got off to a slow start, but he'll be fine. And Brandon Cooks, 4 for 5 catches, 47 yards. You might not be able to start anybody anymore. And then please come back, Tyrod Taylor. So I got to say, Colts Dolphins, Carson Wentz, better game, 2 touchdowns. You want to see that more consistently. He's going to continue to do that. He's going to be around the 25 to 30 pass attempts per game. So probably around the 200 to 300 yards every game because they have a good running back. Jonathan Taylor finally did something. 16 carries, 103 yards, and a touchdown. It was good to see. His longest run was 38 yards. I watched it live. It was just good to see him kind of coming back. And this is with no Quentin Nelson. So it's really good to see. They did play the Dolphins, so I am taking it for face value. However, you know, sometimes you just got to get momentum. The line feels good. The line gets starts to look good, feel better. Like, oh, look at this. You know, you get more confidence. You're like, oh, we got this. We got this. And you just do better. So we'll see how that goes. But Wentz, you're not, you know, going crazy. Jonathan Taylor owners, you're happy to see that. I still don't trust any receivers except for Michael Pittman. Targeted the most, had the most receptions. 6 catches for 59 yards. So 11 points, 12 points in PPR, depending on your scoring. Marlon Mack did play this game. Hines was hurt. So I don't know if they're going to trade Mack now. It's very interesting to see what's going to happen now. But I still think Jonathan Taylor is still the guy to play. I don't know why the Dolphins think Malcolm Brown's a good running back, but they do. You're not starting any running back for the Dolphins. Jacoby Brissett, 2 touchdowns. Devontae Parker finally had a touchdown in Gesicki. You hope Waddle can... You just need Tua to come back. You need some sort of dynamic offensive player because Brissett is just not... The offense looks so bad with him at quarterback. So bad. Gesicki with... The tight end pool being as small as it is with consistency, I think you have to play Gesicki. He's showing what his value is. So you hope with Tua coming back soon, and he started throwing this week, I believe either today or yesterday, which is a good sign because he does have the rib injury. So that should be able to help him a little bit. Instead of you have a tight end. Tight ends are your friends as young quarterbacks. Tight ends are your friends as, look at Tom Brady, 44 years old, still looking for his tight end. Look at what happened when he didn't have his tight end against the Patriots. Yes, it was raining. But when you don't have that comfort and you don't have that tight end, that check down guy, it can really affect you. Use Gesicki. He should really be the only top option if you have a Dolphins offensive player. It's just Gesicki. And I have a couple leagues. So just Gesicki. What else we got? Chiefs-Eagles. I thought it was going to be a better game than what it was. It was the Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes show. I lost one of my leagues with a buddy of mine with Zoob because we had Travis Kelce, and Travis Kelce did absolutely nothing. It was literally a Tyreek Hill show. 12 targets, 11 catches. Kelce was the next in targets with 6 targets and 4 catches. Everybody else had 3 or 2 targets or 1, and they caught them. Hill had 3 touchdowns, 186 yards. Edwards-Helaire had a touchdown, a little flick rushing touchdown. Or pass, receiving touchdown. And then Fortson had a touchdown as well. But product of the play call, Mahomes stays moving around. Gets a pass off for him. Scores a touchdown. Nothing super crazy with that either. You're not clearly not panicking with Kelce. It happens. Hill just finally got behind people. They just couldn't contain him. So... not worried about it. I was disappointed because if Kelce at least gets a touchdown, I think we actually win that game. The game that my buddy and I lost. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, another 100-yard game. Very good to see out of CEH. However, they were ahead. They had game flow. Darnell Williams also took a touchdown away from him. Rushing, he did get the receiving touchdown, but he was kind of there already. So if you have CEH, I would recommend picking up Williams as his handcuff, because if he does go down, he's just going to step in and that's going to be that. Mahomes is just in Mahomes things. 278 yards, 5 touchdowns. If you can get rid of CEH, I would try to maybe get rid of him for somebody to bolster up your team somewhere else, if depending on how your running backs go. Chances are if you have CEH, you have maybe 2 other running backs, you know, higher end running back, CEH, and then a lower end running back. So if you're weak at receiver, look at moving him. Jalen Hurts, Mr. Do-It-All. He played a bad defense, had a nice bounce back game coming back from the Cowboys game where he had those interceptions. 387 yards, 2 touchdowns, just threw a lot. Chiefs defense is bad, yes, but it just gives you that confidence again. Like, you have the confidence now going into the next game. I don't know why they don't use Miles Sanders more. Like, I get it. Gainwell had 3 for 31 and a touchdown. But I just think Miles Sanders is more talented. I just don't get it. Gainwell had 8 targets for 6 catches. Sanders had 3 for 3 for 34. I don't know. It might be a Gainwell. I just don't know. I thought Sanders was the guy. He finished strong last year. Like, he just, I don't know. Like, even last year, he had good games. 95 yards and a touchdown. 95 yards and, like, no, like, maybe not the greatest games, but I feel like he had, you know, some good games, but I guess not. So it might be a Gainwell thing. I thought, you know, I liked Sanders coming out of college, but maybe you pick up Kenneth Gainwell and call it a day. If you have Sanders, that's something I have to do with a buddy of mine. Just look at the handcuff. We have Robbie Anderson. Do we just pick up Kenneth Gainwell and take a shot in the dark and just have our own handcuff? Because then we could just drop Sanders, but then we have Gainwell if we drop Sanders. Like, I don't know. Jalen Hurts, I want to see another good game coming out of him. Against a better defense to see, you know, if he can play and be an every week starter. He does give you those rushing yards. He did lead the team in rushing yesterday on Sunday, 47 rushing yards on 8 carries. So he can get you those rushing touchdowns in the red zone if they cannot score. 2 passing touchdowns. Neither of them went to Devontae Smith, which I'm very upset about. Greg Ward and Dallas Goedert. Goddard ran in for his he saw it a couple yards ago. He caught it further from the goal line. Greg Ward was I do remember that touchdown. It was a good play. It was a good throw. He was just there open to be his guy. But yeah, I mean, Smith led the team in targets and led the team in receptions, 10 targets, 7 receptions for 122 yards. He's showing that he can become more and more consistent. He's going to run better routes. He can catch the ball. He won the Heisman. The kid can play. Give him an opportunity. The kid will be just fine. Especially as they start to get more rapport. Zach Ertz is still a thing. Goddard did get the touchdowns. They're going to be using 2 tight ends and Devontae Smith. So if you have an Eagles tight end, you could start either one of them. Ertz in PPR, Goddard in standard, but you could probably start Goddard in PPR as well. They really like Ertz, and he's very good. They wanted to trade him because they wanted to be able to just have Goddard have it be his team. But having both, I think, is really helping Ertz right now. Ertz is helping Hurts. Jesus, you could really say my ball, Zach Ertz. Huh? Anyway, Hurts. But yeah. For tomorrow's episode, I'm going to talk a lot about Gainwell, so we're going to see what's going on with that. But overall, it's a good game to see from a fantasy standpoint for the Eagles. Big yardage out of Jalen Hurts, 2 touchdowns, and got you some rushing yards. And if you have Devontae Smith, I do think you could start him as a flex now on a weekly basis. He's showing he can play. He had the bad game against the Cowboys. He doesn't fall down. Might be a little different. The kid can play. He's going to get into his own. He's going to do well. You know, he did have, I get it. He had a 16-yard game and a 28-yard game. But the other 2 games, you know, he's going to find his own. But a lot of it is dependent on how Jalen Hurts does. So, as is any receiver, so I really shouldn't say that too much. But anyway. Oh. The G-men, the Giants, my Giants, us, our team, we won. Yeah, you're starting Saquon every week. It's over. Start him. There's no reason for you to not start him. I didn't see the interception by Daniel Jones, though. I didn't see the replay, so I'm not really sure how that went over. He didn't have a great rushing performance, but he did have a rushing touchdown, 52 yards. But the Saints defense is also very good. Don't forget that. And Daniel Jones put up 402 passing yards against them. 2 touchdowns and a pick. They were down by 12 points going into the fourth quarter. Not only did they come back, or 11 points, whatever the case may be. I think it was 8, though. I think it was 8. Or 12. Or 11. 11. I think it was 11, because then they got the 2-point conversion. Anyway. I'm not saying Jones is a fantasy starter, but if you need a streamer quarterback and you have bye weeks coming up, take a look at Daniel Jones.
he's been the most consistent player on the Giants right now. He had his first interception in week four. Yes, he had a fumble in week one. He's had two turnovers through 4 weeks after leading the league in turnovers since he came in. That's weird. So do not be afraid to play Daniel Jones if you have to. You're starting Saquon. He looks better. He's getting more confident. He's making better moves. Don't be afraid to play him. I think, you know, especially with being able with the receptions and the receivers and the weapons that they have now, they have to respect him out of the back. Like, they can't just not pay attention to him out of the backfield. They do, he's going to burn them. Because they have a lot, they have a plethora of weapons on the offensive side of the ball. I don't care what you say. You invest a high draft pick in Kadarius Toney, and he's shown you he can play. You just look up the highlights from Sunday's game. Ah, just beautiful. Beautiful. He did very, very well. Looked good, made some good cuts, made people miss. Just get him the ball in open space and just be like, whoop. Goodbye. Saquon had 52 carries on 13 attempts. That, like I said, the offensive line has been looking better for the Giants, and I think that that's going to just get better as the weeks go on. They've had four different starting left guards in four different weeks as they build some camaraderie and start to... And if they just give Jones time, he will be able to make those throws. He will save Joe Judge's job, if possible. You got to get rid of Gettleman, but that's another story for another day, and we'll talk about it later. Kenny Galladay finally had a nice game. Seven targets, six catches, and 116 yards. Very nice coming out, Barney. Toney was the most targeted receiver that game. Nine targets on six catches, 78 yards. I'm telling you, John Ross is a thing a little bit, maybe, but if they get Shepard back or Slayton, I don't think John Ross becomes a thing anymore. I just think it was because of who was out. Toney showed you he can play. He out-targeted Ross. Ross just got deep on a play. Got behind the defense. The guy just runs, dude. The guy's a speedster. He got behind the defense. Jones hit him. Caught it. Touchdown. Okay? Barkley, same thing. Halfback wheel route up the sideline. Jones hits him in stride. Beautiful throw. Catches it. Just, you're not catching Saquon now that he's full speed. There's no more Chase Young. They're good. So, you're not starting Ingram until you see more consistency. Not Rudolph. The only people you're starting, you can. I think Galladay is a good flex, and you could flex Toney, especially against the Cowboys, if Slayton is there. If Shepard is not there, you're good. So if there's no Shepard, you could go Toney. But I think if Shepard's back, you're going to be hesitant to go Toney because they're going to be playing the kind of the same role. But they could do a lot of different things with them. So it could be. I don't like Jason Garrett. I thought I would. I did last year. I thought it was going to be a good hire. Having a good running back like he had with Zeke in Dallas and, you know, a young quarterback who can run like Dak. I just... But you need a young, offensive-minded, spread-it-out offensive coordinator, good OC, because this team, John Ross, Toney, Shepard, Slayton, Galladay. You take Ross out of it. If Evan Ingram could catch a ball, you have Ingram. One. We'll start bottom. Ingram, Toney, Slayton, Shepard, Galladay. Five weapons. And then Barkley. Dude, what? And that's not including Ross. Or Kyle Rudolph, who is just Mr. Reliable. Ingram did have five catches on six targets. So, like, I get it. A little bit better. But nothing crazy. Five catches, 27 yards. But 5 yards a carry. A catch. Saints, I don't know. They're hard to get a read on. I mean, Winston had the touchdown to Juwan Johnson, but that's all Johnson really did. Marquez Callaway got behind the defense at one point. Winston hit him. 74 yards, two catches. The Giants' defense played better than anticipated in this game. They could not shut down Kamara at the running game, though, but they basically said Winston's going to have to beat us. We're going to give it to Kamara, and Winston's just going to have to make the throws. They did have a terrible tackling display on Taysom Hill, but they probably thought he's a quarterback. You know, he's not. He's a freak athlete. He had two touchdowns, but you're not starting Taysom Hill. However,
keep an eye on Tony Jones Jr. because that might be Taysom Hill could be the backup running back to Kamara if Kamara goes down and Jones is out for extended time. Weird. I know. That then opens up the playbook a little bit because you get really tricky, but stay with Winston, the quarterback. You don't know what you're getting. It's a crapshoot. You're not starting him anymore. After week one, everybody's like, oh, Jameis is blah, blah, blah. No. Look to the person next to you and you're going to realize it's just Jameis. But you're playing Kamara every week and that's it. Just Kamara. And you're starting Jones, Saquon every week. Low end flex Galladay. And if Shepard doesn't play, low end flex Tony. But that's really it for that game. Jets Titans. I touched on this a little bit. Derrick Henry, you're playing him. Ryan Tannehill, if he has his weapons, the Jets probably don't even win that game. The Jets did everything in their power to lose that game. Henry had 33 carries for 157 yards and a touchdown. Ryan Tannehill threw the ball 49 times. 49 times. With no receivers. McNichols had 12 targets. The backup running back had 12 targets for 8 catches. Now, I think that was kind of just they didn't have receivers. Henry carried the ball 33 times. They were probably just trying to break it up a little bit. But we said Nick Westbrook was he had 8 targets for 3 catches. Like the Jets defense showed up and played well. Defensive line played well. He got some good pressure. I don't think you're really starting Zach Wilson. Michael Carter showed some promise. He got the touchdown. The Jets just couldn't run the ball. They were, it was just a sloppy, sloppy game. But they went overtime. Like the Giants and the Giants ended up winning that game because of Jones, and the Jets won this game. So it's very good to see. But Michael Carter in non-PPR, you're probably playing Carter. Corey Davis had a coming out party. Corey Davis, I think, should have been started anyway. He's the best receiver on that team right now. Denzel Mims got nothing. No targets, but he was a distraction, because he is a very, very versatile and he's a speedster. Just you just want to see. I mean, Crowder's back. If they could get Elijah Moore to protocol, I think this changes. You get Jamison Crowder and Elijah Moore to do some stuff, but I think Cole's a look if you have some depth. Or you need some depth or can stash if you could like looking to drop somebody like Myles Gaskin or whatever. And you want to pick up Cole or you have a bad receiver. And you want to pick up Cole to stash him maybe, but I really don't see. I think it's just kind of he was there. But yeah, Crowder, and I want to see Elijah Moore really do something. I really like him. But yeah, other than that, Tannehill, threw for a lot, only had one touchdown. You're starting Derrick Henry, Tannehill. You want to see how he can do with Julio and AJ Brown back. Other than that, I wouldn't start him until they come back. You're starting Henry a week. And just Corey Davis is a low-end flex, depending on how your team looks. And Michael Carter, if you are super desperate. Other than that, stay away from everybody. Washington and the Atlanta Falcons. Taylor Heinicke, man. Is it Tyler Heinicke? I think it's Tyler, actually. Oh, no, it's Taylor. I don't know. People were saying Tyler the other day. He's going to get you, stream it. You could stream him, man, because the defense ain't nothing doing jack shit right now. So you could start Heinicke because they're going to be playing from behind a lot. Their defense is not good, and I think their defense was just a matter of, and I took their defense. I fell into the trap. They were good last year based on their schedule. And now it just goes to show you, you play the Giants twice a year, you play the Eagles twice a year, and you play the Cowboys twice a year. Your defense is going to look good, especially last year with Andy Dalton, bad, even worse offensive line, and the Eagles is doing it, though. But Gibson scares me. I mean, based on where you draft Gibson, you're just going to play him. McKissick had the receiving touchdown. I think that was just a matter of everybody went left. He was right. Heinicke hit him. He just beat the team to the end zone. McLaurin, you're playing 13. He had 13 targets, 6 catches for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's just an absolute beast. He had a great catch in the game. Heinicke, beautiful spot. The more and more Heinicke plays, honestly, I think Washington is a quarterback, man. I really do. Use these draft picks if you finish bad or whatever the case may be to build a team around him because I really think that he is that person. He came in last year, played in a playoff game, made it close. He's got grit. I like Heinicke. I do. 3 touchdowns, 290 yards. He showed he could throw it, got good touch. He's going to learn. Like, he's still young. You know, let him learn, see how he finishes. Just let Fitzpatrick teach him at this point. Let him ride it out, man. Let him ride it out. You're probably going to hold on to McKissick if you have him, or get him if you can, just for the simple fact if Gibson goes down. But I think you might see more and more of a split backfield, but it just really depends. They have not been able to have a lead to let Gibson do what Gibson can do because their defense is just atrocious. Straight up atrocious. But anyway, yeah, Cordell Patterson, start him. 3 touchdowns, just start him. Mike Davis had 13 carries for 14 yards. Wayne Gallman had 6 for 29. Cordell had 6 for 34. He had 5 catches for 82 yards and 3 touchdowns. I do not think he can keep this up by any stretch of the imagination. They have Calvin Ridley. They have Kyle Pitts. And Ridley was targeted 13 times, 7 catches for 80 yards. Pitts was targeted 9 times for 4 catches. People just don't think Cordell's going to beat them, and then it's too late, and Cordarrelle Patterson beats them. Once they take him away, hello, Ridley. Hello, Pitts. There's a reason Patterson has not been relevant in 10 years. He's been in the league for like 10 years. Look, if you have him, start him. Flex, whatever, running back, receiver, whatever the case may be. PPR, standard, I don't care right now. You have him, ride the wave, start him, because he's the only thing that's going well for Atlanta right now. That's it. Cordarrelle Patterson. That's all you're playing, man. I mean, Pitts, high upside. They're targeting him. They like him. He's explosive. He was targeted in the red zone or the green zone, whatever you want to call it. He just wants, I think once he, I don't think he's a touchdown yet this season, because I have him and I don't remember him getting a touchdown at all. No, he has. I think once he gets a touchdown, he'll be 4 catches, 5 catches, 2 catches against the Giants, and then just recently 4 catches. So they're, he's, his longest each catch is at least 15 yards. He's 2 for over 20. Like, the kid can play. He's just, you just got to have to start him if you have him. If you probably took him to possibly start because it's just talented and all they had was Calvin Ridley, you did not think Cordarrelle Patterson would be able to do this. So, but you're going to start Ridley just because of a sheer, like, he's your actual only other, he's your only true receiver that's relevant right now. Is Calvin Ridley. Patterson is going to get his right now. And then Pitts will get his as well. Those are the top 3 options. That's who you're going to have to get. I have Mike Davis, one of my leagues. The volume's there. I don't know why he's not doing anything. It's really concerning. He broke 50 yards once. He did have a touchdown that saved his game for me. We still lost, though. But the receiving touchdown saved his game. Dude, I don't know what to do. And he and Miles Sanders are the reason. And my buddy and I do not know what to do in fantasy football right now. It really is. We went no running backs, and we're just kind of screwed right now. But anyway, if you're watching live, I know the Yankee game's on, so we're going to try to blow through this as quick as we can. We have a couple more games to go through, and I'm going to try to get through them for you guys. Rams-Cardinals. Cardinals might be the best team in the NFC. Just saying, especially after the Patriots did not look that good. Kyler Murray's a stud. Matt Stafford's still a stud, too. It was, they just couldn't stop them. Cardinals just, the second quarter, Cardinals got ahead and just kept it up. You know, Stafford just wasn't as accurate as he normally is. 26 of 41 for Stafford, 2 touchdowns, 280 yards. He still had a good game, Stafford. You're not going to start Stafford. Just a bad team game. Darrell Henderson, 14 for 89. He just does not like Robert Woods. Robert Woods got a garbage time touchdown that saved his game. Cooper Kupp, 13 targets. Most targeted receiver, Cooper Kupp. Vance Jefferson, 6 for 6 for 90 and a touchdown. I mean, I still like Kupp out of all the receivers. If you had Robert Woods, you probably could get Jefferson and start Jefferson over him. If you have Henderson, depending on how your running backs are, you're probably starting Henderson. But yeah, I really just like Higbee as a tight end if you need to. Kupp. And Henderson and Stafford, obviously. Cardinals, you start Murray. So I have Chase Edmonds in my one league, and he had 12 carries for 120 yards, averaged 10 yards a carry. And he also had 4 catches He was tied for third most targeted next to Max Williams. James Conner took his touchdowns, though, and it pisses me off so much because he had James Conner 18 carries. James Conner sucks as a running back. He's just a good goal line guy because Chase Edmonds is your starting running back. Like, James Conner sucks. Like, he's better than me, but James Conner is terrible. But he's there, and you get touchdowns in the red zone, and Edmonds could probably get them too because they'll spread you out, and you don't know what Murray's going to do. And when he hands it off, you don't know what's going to happen. So screw you, Conner, for taking my touchdowns from Edmonds and not have me eclipse like 200 yards or 200 points in my one league. Anyway, I think you're starting Edmonds, especially just PPR, really, because I don't expect him to put up 12 for 120 again. I really don't. I just don't. It's 10 yards carry. I don't expect it. But you're starting with PPR because they use him as a weapon. He's going to get his touches. He's going to get at least 20 touches a game, 15 to 20 touches a game for Edmonds. Maybe closer to 15 than to 20. At least five catches or at least five targets and at least 10 carries. Hopkins scares me. Four catches for 67. I mean, you drafted him high, so you're going to keep him, but he still is hurt, to my knowledge. He still could not be 100%. AJ Green, another good game, 67 yards on five catches for a touchdown. Excuse me, and Max Williams. Christian Kirk had one catch for 5 yards. It's very disappointing. I did not start him this week. But clearly the Rams just couldn't stop them. I don't know if Ramsey was playing on Kirk maybe, and that's why. But AJ Green looks like he's a viable option now, especially in this offense. I think it's Hopkins, Green, and then maybe Max Williams. But I think Max Williams is just dependent on what Kyler is given. I still think the top three pass catchers are going to be Hopkins, Green, and Kirk. But at pretty soon, I feel like it's going to be Green, Hopkins, and Kirk. Green is like feeling like he found the fountain of youth. I don't know what's going on with him. But yeah, you're starting Murray, you're starting Edmonds as a flex, and Hopkins and AJ Green, you could confidently start as wide receiver twos. You're starting them regardless. Next game, Seahawks Niners. Nothing too crazy here. DK Metcalf had an early game touchdown. That's pretty much all he had the rest of the game. He's still battling an injury. They played Thursday night, so we'll see how that goes. Jimmy Garoppolo did get hurt. So do keep an eye out on Trey Lance as a fantasy relevant quarterback. If you're needed a streamer or bye weeks coming up, depending on how long Garoppolo is hurt for with a calf contusion. For some reason, Chris Carson had 13 carries for 30 yards and nothing. Alex Collins took some stuff from him, took a touchdown, 10 carries, 44 yards, better per carry average. But Russ kind of just carried the game. If it wasn't for Russ, they'd lose that game. It was just a sloppy game, though. It was very defensive. 28-21 is just, I don't think it's very indicative of how the game actually went. DK Metcalf targeted 8 times, 4 catches, 65 yards, a touchdown. And Freddie Swain, 3 catches, 20 yards, and a touchdown. But you're not, I like picking up Freddie Swain, especially depending on what Lockett's doing. Lockett did have 24 yards, but he is very boomer bust dependent. I think DK is probably the most consistent receiver on that team just because of his size and speed. Tyler Lockett, if he gets behind the team, obviously he's going to look, but DK has that same speed. Deebo Samuel scares me for San Francisco because he's just been the recipient of 2 very big plays. Going for touchdowns. He had a 79-yard touchdown in week 1 and a 76-yard touchdown in week 4. He did have 93 yards in week 2, 189 yards in week 1, 156 yards in week 4, but 52 yards. Trey Lance is a strong arm. If Deebo could, it was a busted coverage that he found Deebo and then Deebo just ran it in. It was very yards after catch than it was actually 76-yard, pass. Trey Lance is young. I think if they have more of a game script, he may be running more than throwing because he is a very, very raw and young quarterback, but we'll see. If you can trade Deebo, maybe sure up something else, package him with somebody, I would do that. But don't expect this out of every, even though he's done it for 2 weeks, I still don't expect this out of every game from him. He just had a busted coverage this game. And if it wasn't for that, he would have had maybe 70, 80 yards and then no touchdown. So, which is still a very good game, but I'm just saying. Trey Sermon did show some promise. 19 carries, 89 yards. Seahawks a good team. Defensively, with Bobby Wagner, you know, in the middle, they're always going to tackle. Running against them is going to be hard. You always want to try to pass against them. But it was very promising to see 89 yards out of Trey Sermon. And you just want to see, as time goes on, him get better. And I think that will happen. But we'll see what happens when Elijah Mitchell comes back from that injury. George Kittle, 11 targets, 4 catches. Look, you drafted him, you're starting him. You're not playing George Kittle. It's just very disappointing to see him not do too well. And that's really it. You're starting Kittle. You're going to start Debo as a flex. Don't expect the kind of production out of him that you've been getting. But, you know, just saying. Especially if they can get more of a running game or trust Sermon in the receiving game, if Elijah Mitchell comes back, you know. So just don't be, you know. But then again, at the same point, he is also the only option because Brandon Ayuk is just dog water. Fortnite. But I don't think he'll be able to keep it up, especially when you have a rookie quarterback who's not going to be able to necessarily make all those throws and be reliant on Debo getting behind the defense. Next, we have Ravens Broncos. Teddy Bridgewater was out with a concussion. Scares me with the Broncos. They might lose there next week. Drew Lock is there. If they like Drew Lock as much as they would when they drafted him, they wouldn't have had to get Teddy Bridgewater. So pay attention to that one. Lamar Jackson shows you that he can beat you with his arm. 316 yards and a touchdown. Latavius Murray, Tyson Williams with a healthy scratch. Le'Veon Bell played as well. Latavius, I think he's the back to have right now. Just going to be honest, because Bell didn't look that hot, but he, again, not football shape. Murray's been playing since week one with them. Tyson Williams, healthy scratch. So just keep that in mind. You know, what's going on? So I think if he's, you know, just pick up Murray if you can. If you don't have him already, I think he's going to be the back to have. He's a viable running back in the league for sure. When he was Raiders and everything like that, Saints is a backup to Kamara. He can play. He's in the NFL for a reason. He's still around. He can play. Marquise Brown showed you that he can hold on to things and probably made a more difficult catch this game and held on to it with the follow through from him, his full extension. Than he did last week against the Lions. I want to see what happens when Bateman comes back from IR to see if Brown can do this, because Bateman is a very talented receiver as well. But we'll see. Brown showed you that he has trust now. Yes, he had a bad week, but he came back, made a very difficult catch in the end zone to bail out Lamar Jackson on a far throw, and he held on to it. It was beautiful to watch. If you can, look at the Hollywood Brown catch, Marquise Brown. Marquise Hollywood Brown against the Broncos. Beautiful catch. Full extension. And yeah, I mean, you're starting each running back if you have to. Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. And even in PPR, you're probably playing both. You're probably going to play more of them in non-PPR going forward, depending on how long Teddy Bridgewater is going to be out for, because they're going to probably lean on the running backs more with Drew Lock being in. They could be low end flexes in PPR because swing passes and stuff, checkdowns. But I think you'll see more production out of them. Noah Fant will continue to get production because, again, tight ends are your friend, as Jacoby Brissett is showing Tua with Mike Gesicki. Cortland Sutton is also the top receiver there right now. I mean, Tim Patrick's good, but he just showed you six. He had 6 targets and 3 catches. Sutton had 8 targets and 3 catches. I just think Sutton's the better talent. Nothing to take away from Patrick, but if you were to have a Broncos receiver, just take Sutton. Fan is going to be the probably most targeted going forward next to the running backs, but Sutton is going to be somebody that you can maybe get some plays out of being a top receiver. Maybe get you 70 yards, 5 catches. You'll take it. 12 to 15 points, and maybe a touchdown if you're lucky. Low-end flex, though. Low-end flex. And Fant, you're starting a tight end. Steelers-Packers. Do not start a single Steelers player. I'm just kidding. Deontay Johnson is probably the only one I want to play next to Najee Harris. Touchdown save Najee Harris a little bit. From a yardage perspective, 62 yards on 15 carries and 6 catches on 29 yards. So he had about 91 yards, I want to say. touch the ball a total of 20 times. You know, he's going to do that. They're going to run the ball. He's going to get his catches from checking down. But Deontay Johnson is the guy you want. James Washington did have a good game, but it's just dependent. Juju Smith-Schuster was 2 catches on 8 targets and 11 yards. It's just not looking good for anybody right now. Najee Harris and Deontay Johnson's all I want. That's it. Packers. Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers things. Aaron Jones. The game was... A.J. Dillon did have more yards. I'm on the same amount of touches. And I don't think there was anything other than just, you know... a little hurt. Ankle injury. So just kind of like, you know... But he did have 99 total yards. So... I mean, it's still something, you know, 99 total yards. So A.J. Dillon did have 81 of 15 carries. Aaron Rodgers rushed for a touchdown and scored 2, so a total of 3 touchdowns. Randall Cobb had a very nice game, but you're not going to be starting Cobb. You're just going to be starting Jones, Adams, Rodgers, and Tonyan in non-PPR, but you could probably drop Tonyan now. So nothing crazy here. Steelers suck. Sorry for you. We did the Thursday game, so we're not going to do that. And then the Bucks Patriots. Mac Jones can play. Best rookie quarterback performance up to this point through 4 weeks in the season. I really like him. I think that the Patriots found their guy of the future. Obviously, the next quote-unquote Tom Brady-esque quarterback, not from a winning standpoint per se yet, but from a aura standpoint and how he carries himself and how he plays and how he's not being asked to do too much. Like Brady wasn't asked to do too much when he first started. You know, they have a very good defense. They're going to lean on their defense to win them some games. It's going to happen. But, you know, Jones played well. Threw the ball 40 times. Had an interception. You know, it was raining heavily. Brady did not have the greatest of games. Threw the ball 43 times. 22 completions. No touchdowns. Fournette ran well. But again, it was a very heavy game. Brady was probably playing with a heavy heart. A lot of emotion. I get it. Not really. Mike Evans had a good game. Antonio Brown dropped a touchdown. Game probably wouldn't have been as close. Patriots lost because they missed a field goal. I don't think Godwin is a must start anymore, per se. However, with no Gronk, until Gronk gets back, you could probably throw him in if you need a receiver because you probably took him somewhere you could have had other people. So you're probably a little shorthanded right now. So we'll go with that if need be. Bell's trash. I just got a comment from somebody on Facebook saying that Bell is trash. I am not denying that Bell is not trash. I'm just saying. Bell's not football shape yet. Just saying. I see you, Jake. For anybody, again, if you hear me or see me interacting with anybody, it is from Facebook or Twitter or, Twitch. So, yeah. Patriots couldn't run the ball to save their lives, but it's a buck, so it doesn't really expect much there. The people I want to start from the Patriots receiving core at tight end, probably going to be Henry. Him and Smith did both catch touchdowns, Jonnu Smith, but I'm not crazy about it. Red zone maybe, but the people I want are Jacoby Myers and Kendrick Bourne. Bourne had 5 targets, 5 catches, 58 yards, and Myers had 12 targets for 8 catches and 70 yards. Myers is going to be their Edelman and Welker. He's just going to be that guy. They don't throw the ball deep. They check it down a lot. He's very good at running routes. Kendrick Bourne's the guy that's going to beat you over the top and maybe sometimes Aguilar, but we'll see. Other than that, those are the two guys I want to start, Myers and Bourne. Bourne, if you are a flyer, deeper leagues if need be. Myers is probably going to be a starting flex high end because he's just going to get all the targets. No running backs, no Jones. Bucks, you're going to play the usuals, probably going to play Evans, then Brown. More so Evans on a consistent basis. I do not trust Fournette to continue to do that. However, Byron Leftwich did say that they needed to run the ball more because Brady is 44. However, he is doing crazy things at the age of 44, but he is also 44. Your body cannot keep up with a lot of that stuff at points. So it happens. But the Bucks are going to hit stride. They won rainy day.
and an off day for Brady because it was very emotional. But, you know, overall, good games, good weeks. Hope you guys won. Hope you guys did well with some of my advice and some of Connor's advice as well. It means a lot if you guys did. We're just trying to help you guys win your leagues and tell you who to pick up and what bets to make. Speaking of bets, let's get into that real quick. Super fast. All righty. So let's go to this website real quick. This is a terrible week. Oh, God, the Yankees are going to lose. Fantastic. 2-0 Red Sox already. That's awesome. Anyway, with that being said, all right. So, let's take a look. Did either of us pick the Giants? We both picked the Giants, so we each got one win there as we talk about our bets for the week. Sorry about that. All right. Titans, Jets. We both took the Titans. That's a loss. Redskins, Falcons. We both took the Redskins. We won that one. I don't know. There's a control for that. Texans, Bills, Texans, Bills. We both took the Texans. No bueno. Bears, Lions. We both took the Lions. No bueno. He took the Cowboys. I did not. Colts, Dolphins. We both took the Finns. Browns, Vikings. We both took the Vikings. Chiefs, Eagles. We both took the Chiefs. And for anybody wondering, I do take these and post our picks online on Saturday night, usually, or maybe Sunday morning. And then we see how they did. And then depending on our picks, if you want to make bets based on our picks, feel free to do so. But I do want to have Zubon to talk about picks and talk about fantasy and sports betting in general. So that being said, we both took the Rams. Both took the Seahawks. It was a bad week for both of us this week. But we both didn't get to do as much research as we wanted. Ravens. Both got the Ravens right. So far, he's beaten me by one game. He took the Cowboys. Excuse me. We both took the Pack Attack. The Bucks game, we lost. The Chargers, we won, baby. We won the Chargers. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 15 games. Just did 15. That's right. So it's not a good percentage for Zub. He went 8 out of 15. I went 7 out of 15. So he hit for 53%, and I did not. I hit for 47%. So, bad week this week. We're going to come back strong next week. We're both going to do some research. We kind of just did our picks quick. He had to do some stuff Sunday morning. I was kind of all over the place. Work was busy. But anyway, guys, I appreciate you guys coming and listening to this. If you listen live while I was recording on Twitch and Facebook, Sports Euphoria on Twitch, Sports _ Euphoria on Twitter, Sports _ Euphoria on Instagram. This is going to go live tonight, October 5th, so you guys can listen to my review, and then I'm going to try and get my waiver wire episode out tomorrow for waivers
tomorrow night, so you guys can kind of listen to that quick and see what's going on. I do want to kind of start getting to that quicker if I can. We'll see what happens. But you got our bets. You can see my bets. I'll make my screen bigger. When I say screen, like I said, if you're listening to this, I do go live on Twitch, typically between the 7 to 9 o'clock hour. Please, if you follow me on Twitter, I will tweet out when I'm going live so you guys can take a look, interact with me, ask me questions, things like that. Love to be able to help you guys out. Guys, I appreciate it. Enjoy the Yankee game if you're watching it. And I do believe in the next 20 minutes, the Stack Attack podcast should be going live at 9. Should be. Go follow them on Twitter. They help me out. Great people over there. But yeah, they should be going live at 9 with their waiver wire in week 5 preview. So go stop by, take a listen, tell them Sports Euphoria sent you. Guys, I appreciate it. With that being said, enjoy the rest of your night. Peace.
Let's go help people customize and save with Liberty Mutual.
Okay, who sat at my desk?
The body of a woman was found. She'd been strangled.